It's 8 minutes past 9 o'clock.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. And looking outside, it's a nice balmy day.
A little different than yesterday, isn't it,
Dick? A little different than yesterday, but maybe not as bad as hopefully they predict more than what we're going to get. But I know the roads are a little slick, but the traction and walking is good with that snow that came down first, or sleet, I suppose.
But still a little slippery out there.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful.
Yeah, very careful.
Yes. But okay. Anyway, we're going to start things off with the Culture Show with the wrap-up of the wrestling season. The banquet was last Sunday, and if well attended, but if you missed it, you'll hear from Hank Ireland, the head coach, basically what he talked about at the banquet. So we'll take this break.
Brandon, too. And we're going to visit with Brandon Hill later on, too.
Paul had a nice interview with him that he's a head coach, baseball coach at Alexandria Voltec.
And,
doing a great job. A spring trip, but had some great outings and played ten ball games.
Yeah, that's what we usually try to do on a coach's show in between seasons, you know, or in between the winter season and the spring season. And we try to interview some Lackawanna Valley alumni.
Yeah.
So Brandon played on that state baseball team.
Yeah.
I think he was a freshman when he started. He said he started for the Eagles
when
they played at Target Field. Remember that?
We do, So you and I broadcast that from the Herb Carneal press box.
That's right, that was boy.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
And speaking of spring sports, last week boys and girls track and softball started. Starting Monday will be varsity and JV baseball, boys and girls golf, and junior high track. And then next Monday would be boys tennis. So we'll be off and running here pretty soon. You know, in the spring, we have an hour and a half culture show, but we'll start. We won't start that next week, but maybe once activities start. So with that, we'll take this break and hear that wrestling wrap-up by Hank Ireland after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed bottling company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Beef prices may be on the rise everywhere, but not at the Country Butcher in Dawson. Kip is keeping prices exactly the same through the month of March. That's right, no markup on beef in March at the Country Butcher, and no surprises. So hurry in before April hits. Stop in today and stock up on your favorite cuts of beef. That's at the Country Butcher, located in downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Team United Wrestling and wrap up that wrestling season with head coach Hank Ireland. And good morning, Hank.
Morning.
Well, I usually don't get the interview on Coaches Show on Saturday, but I guess it's my turn today, I guess.
Yeah, you get stuck with me.
I do. I get stuck with you. Well, we're going to take some time here and talk about each wrestler and wrap up that Team United Wrestling season. And I know you had your banquet already, and you gave out some awards. And Hank, just overall, tell us about how your season went and the state entrance and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was a great year. You know, we went 20-7 on the year. We're the West Central Camden Conference champions. We beat a handful, 5-6 ranked teams in the state. We beat three teams that made it to the state tournament. Yeah, it was a great year. A lot of exciting dual meets. You think back at some of them. The Camby one, our last one of the year, was a very exciting one over at Loch Parle. That was a fun one. Our section match against Hutchinson, both of our matches against Hutchinson were very exciting. And it was a great year, and had some great seniors and great leaders on the team. And yeah, I can go through. We had our banquet last Sunday. I can go through some of the awards that we went through. We started off with we were academic All-State. So for that. And we're the gold standard, so there's gold and silver. So we're above 3.5. Our team GPA was 3.8, so that was pretty impressive. They take the top 10 guys out of your 20-man roster. Those guys are Landon Olson, Ben Gunnickson, Gabe Lowry, Eli Olson, Gavin Mortensen, Cam Sather, Holland Shocker, Grayson Olson, Braden Jaden, Aiden Olson, and Brian Rohde. So that was a pretty good accomplishment on the mat and off the mat. They are great students. And then, like I said, we were 20-7 on the year, lost New Ulm in the section semifinals, but it was a great year. We had the ninth grade league. We had eight kids placed in the ninth grade league individual section tournament. And now Aiden Olson and Matthew Boffin both took third. Then Josh Kranz took fourth. Ivor Heinrich took fifth. Colin Rosendahl took fifth. Jeffrey Denharting took seventh. And then Teddy Boffin, Marcos Merlo, and Brody Wolfschlager took eighth. So they had a very successful ninth grade league individual qualifier. The team qualifier for the ninth grade league, the team went 1-2. I believe they had a pretty dominant win over Quad County, then they failed the mark. I talked to Luke Botham and Mike Coyle, the two ninth grade league coaches. They recapped the year at the banquet, and they're really happy with the kids' success throughout the year.
Good.
Then we highlighted our captains this year. That was Landon Olson, Tygan Long, Grayson Olson, Noah Meyer, Cameron Sather, Ben Gunnickson, and Eli Olson.
Hmm.
Some juniors and seniors in there. They were our great leaders for us all year. They kept the kids in line, kind of ran the warm-ups and practice and stuff, and were kind of our dynamic leaders we had. Then we hit some milestones this year. For 60 wins, that's kind of the first milestone in wrestling. We had Carson Gareppi and Gavin Mortensen. They got their 60th win. And then 75 wins, Holland Shocker and Eli Olson both hit that mark. And then Eli also hit his 100th win on the year, or on his career. Then Ben Gunnickson hit his 125th win, and he also got his 150th win. And Cameron Sather also got his 150th win. So lots of great milestones and patches we give out for that. And it was another great year for milestones, and next year we got some other big ones coming up. So hopefully, you guys get to 200.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, good career milestones there for some of them. So awesome. Go ahead.
We had our West Central Conference. Like I said, we were the team champs. We also had a lot of guys that got all conference honors. Those are Tygan Long was all conference. Grayson Olson was all conference. Holland Shocker was all conference. Cameron Sather, Ben Gunnickson, Eli Olson, and Gavin Mortensen. Those guys were all conference. And then Carson Gareppi and Brian Rohde were all conference honorable mentions. So that was it's good to have that many guys be all conference, you know, especially with our conference having 14 teams this year. It was good showing.
All right.
Yeah. And then our state entrants, we had three of them this year: Cameron Sather, Eli Olson, and Ben Gunnickson. And like we talked with Dick last week, Cam and Eli both lost to the eventual state champs, so there's nothing to hang your head on about that. But they just fell a little short of placing. But then Ben Gunnickson is our lone placer. He took fourth in the state. And that he takes all state honors with getting fourth. So it was a great year for Ben.
Good. Yeah, he had an older brother, right, that wrestled too, didn't he?
Yep, Dan graduated last year. He's wrestling at the University of Chicago right now.
Oh, so wow, okay.
Interesting, his career down there, yeah.
Good, so that's the end of the Gunnisons then, huh?
Yep, that's So just the two brothers.
Two brothers, okay. Yeah, Hank, can we go from the weight class up and start the lower weight class and maybe just talk about some of your starters? Or
yeah, I can just start with, we had Eli Olson. He was 107. Like I said, he was our state entrant, kind of a spark plug to start us off at each dual meet. It was really great to have him down there. And he was there from day one. He was at 107 and made weight every time. I know it got to be a little tough towards the end of the year, but he did an amazing job for us. Then at 113, we had a senior, Nelson Velazquez. And he's only been in wrestling for about 3 years, and he ended up with a 12-16 record. So that was a really good record for only being his third year in wrestling. And he missed some time with sickness and stuff, too, but it was great to have him, senior, down there. Then at 120, we had Gavin Morrison, sophomore, ended up getting 30 wins on the year. So that's a big accomplishment. Like I said, he got his 60th win on the year, too. He was our mat boss. That's our app that keeps all of our stats. He was our takedown winner on the year. He ended up with 80 takedowns on the year. That was the most on our team.
Wow.
So a great year for Gavin. Then at 127, we had Grayson Olson, a senior for us. He had 33 wins on the year, so a great senior year for Grayson. Ended up taking fourth in the section. He was a pinner. He got a lot of pins for us. Came out physical right away, so great for him to finish off his career. Then at 133, we had Tygan Long. He ended up with 15 wins on the year. He was a great vocal leader in the room, always the motivator, always a great teammate to go pick up his teammates after a tough loss or something like that. But yeah, Tygan had a great career for us at 133. Then at 139, we had Ben Gunnlaugsson. We talked about him. He ended up with 42 wins on the year. So he's hoping to get that and more next year and push 200 wins on his career. At 145, we had Holland Shocker. Holland missed most of the year, the whole first half, with a football injury, but he came back and ended up getting 19 wins for us and had a great half the season, I guess. But hopefully next year he can avoid the injury bug there and he can put a great senior year together. At 152, we had Cameron Sather, junior, the state entry for us, just missed out on placing. He ended up with 39 wins, I believe. Yep, 39. So he's going to push 200 career wins next year. It's a great goal for him to have coming in as a senior, three-time state entrant. At 160, we had Bentley Boffin. Bentley ended up with 14 wins on the year. He had the injury bug a little, too. A lot of our guys on our team kind of got hit by that injury bug a little bit. But he is a sophomore. He was kind of bouncing around with Cam, kind of following Cam around, trying to get the better matchups for the team. And a good sophomore year for Bentley. Then at 172, we had senior Noah Meyer. He cut down from about 200 pounds, got it down to 172, and had a great senior year for us. 21 wins, ended up getting fourth in the section. Noah worked hard to get down to 172, so wow. Proud of him for that. And he had
that's a lot of weight. I got to take some lessons from Noah.
Yeah, he had a great senior year. And at 189, we had Brian Rohde. He had 21 wins as well on the year. He had a great junior year. He also took fourth in the section. He beat the kid that took third, and he beat the kid that took first in the section earlier in the year. So it's hopefully a good confidence booster for him next year, coming and trying to be that rock up top for us. Then at 215, we had Gabe Lowry filled in a little bit. Gabe Lowry had some great wins. He had a really big win in Hutchinson to really help the team beat them when it was in Hutchinson during the regular season. So he got 7 wins on the year. And he only had some part-time because we had a senior, Landon Olson, who was 215 with them. So Landon ended up getting 15 wins on the year. He was out for a good chunk of that with mono. But he ended up taking third in the section, just missing out on a true second match. And a great senior year for Landon Olson. And then at heavyweight, we had Carson Gareppi. He got 26 wins on the year for us, so it was a great senior year. And every one of his matches was always exciting. He was go big or go home. It was very exciting watching him wrestle. And he ended up getting that milestone of 60 wins and 26 on this year, taking fourth in the section. So, yeah, like I said, all in all, it was a great year. Want to thank you guys for broadcasting with us. Dick and Danny did a great job of following us around.
Yeah, they love following the Team United Wrestling, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the MAC Club, they did a lot for us, the 80s, all the transportation. With three schools, it can be a little tricky getting all the transportation and all the times, bus times all scheduled, but they do a great job for us. Like I said, all the assistant coaches, too, they, Kenny, Luke, they do a great job. Coyle, Sam, Hendrickson, and their families. Their families got to spend time without them while they're off coaching. Mm-hmm. But all those...
Who are your assistant coaches again?
We have Kenny Sather, Luke Boffin, Mike Coyle, and Sam Hendrickson.
Okay.
Yeah, and they do a great job, and I want to thank them and their families, and then all the elementary coaches that put in time to help feed the varsity program. You got Dustin Baker, Dustin Williamson, Jake Boffin, Cameron Jurgensen, Travis Beerhansel, Casey Clausen, Kyle Kranz, Chad Listel, and there's a whole bunch more dads that have been helping out. I know Jared Royland's been over there at Lockparl helping out a lot now too. So there's a lot of elementary coaches, and that's what it takes. You know, it takes some dads to put some time together and try to get those kids to the next level.
Yeah. How about team managers? Do you have team managers or staff people?
Yeah, we had Taya McKinney, Thea Wilsey, Maya Boffin, and Alyssa Kulinski and Brooklyn Peterson. So we had five girls. They did a great job as well.
What's their responsibilities?
On the video, our Matt Boss app, they record all the matches, and then they make sure all the stats are right.
Right. I gotta give a shout out to Taya. She is so good. She texts me results, sometimes individual results, and she's pretty talented in that way, in social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're definitely on top of things, that's for sure. Yep. They do a great job.
Yep. Okay, anything else, Hank?
No, that's about it, I think. I want to thank all the fans, too, for supporting us.
That's what I was going to say. You have a tremendous following, don't you?
Yeah, they do a great job. They travel everywhere we go.
Yeah, and they come out in big numbers, too.
Yep,
so,
yes, they do.
So, preview next year. What's next year look like for you?
Next year we should be a tough team again, one of the top teams in our section. We'll contend. Next year is going to be a little, it might look a little different. They're doing section realignment this year and class realignment, so I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll find out, I think, April-ish, who's in the section next year and stuff. So I don't know if much is going to change, but you never know. But no, we'll be tough whatever section we're in.
Okay.
We'll compete. We'll have a big senior group, great leaders in that senior group. Hopefully everyone can fall into the right weight class and everyone can take the next step to the next level and work hard in the off season.
All right. Well, congratulations, Hank, on a fantastic season again. You're doing a great job leading the wrestling program, and appreciate you being on the coaches show every Saturday morning as well, Hank.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we'll see you next year.
We'll see you next year.
All right, Hank Ireland, head coach of the Team United Wrestling team, and we'll take a commercial break. We'll come back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Add the Spring Expo in Ortonville to your calendar. Saturday, March 15th, the 30th annual vendor fair is happening in the Ortonville High School for one day only. Come out and enjoy the activities from 10 to 5. Enjoy the all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast in the Commons from 9 to 11, brought to you by 4-H and the Ortonville Trap Team. A performance by Just for Kicks Dance in the auditorium from 2 to 3. A bingo fundraiser for Just for Kicks from 3:30 to 4:30. A sportsman swap meet in the elementary gym from 10 to 5. Call Gloria at 320-760-6250 to sign up. And drawings for cash in the chamber raffle at 4:45. The Spring Expo at the Ortonville High School will be a great day. Don't miss the vendors, scavenger hunt, kids' corner, and cash drawings.
Mattson Family Chiropractic prides themselves on helping you reach and achieve your goals that you have with care. Although most times getting out of pain is the primary goal, and Dr. Brock Mattson will do everything he can to help you achieve that. Chiropractic care is most often associated with neck and back pain, but Mattson Family Chiropractic offers so many other services as well, like sports physicals, DOT and drug testing. And does chiropractic care help kids? The answer is yes. Contact Dr. Brock Mattson today to set up an appointment. Call 320-269-7135. That's Mattson Family Chiropractic, Montevideo.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day, With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at HauganCropINS.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
Due to the stormy weather this weekend, the Big Stone Republican BPOU County Convention has been canceled for Saturday. If you have any questions, give Jay Backer a call at 600-1417. But again, no convention for the Big Stone Republicans this weekend due to the weather.
And we want to add to the weather-related announcements, no church service this morning, Saturday morning, for Grace Lutheran in Corral. That's Grace Lutheran in Corral. No services Saturday morning. Home to Home store in Appleton will be closed today. Got a call from Darwin. Detoys in Madison will be open today. And the Camby Library will be closed today. The Dawson Library, they're going to open an hour late at 11 o'clock this morning. Madison Public Library, they're going to be open normal hours. And the Madison Library will be open from 10 till 2 today.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, March 14th through Monday, March 17th in Theater 1, held over The Unbreakable Boy, based on a true story, rated PG. That's The Unbreakable Boy in Theater 1. Action in Theater 2 with Love Hurts. That's Love Hurts, rated R in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. And as we always do between seasons, we're between the winter sports season and spring season here. We have some time to visit with some La Caparo Valley alumni and catch up with them and see what they're doing. And this morning we're going to visit with La Caparo Valley graduate Brandon Hill. Brandon's on the phone with us, and he's just back from sunny Florida, right, Brandon?
That's right. We're kind of recovering over the last couple of days, so we got in really, really late Thursday night at 2 a.m. and have a little time off now.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the Coach's Show this morning, Brandon. You've been on the Coach's Show before in a coaching aspect, haven't you?
Yeah, way back. I probably first did it when I was coaching Madison VFW, which I did for 3 years, along with my dad and a couple assistants, and then done it a handful of times for the Mallards too, now that I kind of went from just playing to kind of helping out with the team there too.
Yep.
So
you're no stranger to Q92 Sports then, right?
No, definitely not. You could say I got my start in coaching way back when was the Madison VFW, when I was really the head honcho for the
first
time.
That's right. So. I remember that well. All right, Brandon, what year did you graduate from La Caparo Valley?
I was a 2015 graduate, so I would have played on the baseball teams from 2012 to 2015.
And that was a state tournament team, or state entrant team, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. It was funny, in Florida, we played a school up north in Minnesota, and one of their coaches was actually from Ely, and he came up to me and he said, "You graduated from Lac Parle, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "So you were on the team that played us in the state tournament?" I said, "Yeah, I was the second baseman on the team." He said, "I remember you and your dad, and I remember you guys coming up and playing a Legion tournament there." So it's kind of funny, after all those years, you still hear about it once in a while. So,
yeah, that's what baseball does. It brings a lot of people together, a lot of different connections, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Brandon, tell us about what sports you're out for at La Caparo Valley, and talk about your high school experience.
Yeah, I was a baseball player and a basketball player, and then I was on the teams for both those for 4 years, and it was fortunate enough to move on and play baseball afterwards, and I really love baseball and basketball, and I had a lot of success in baseball, so I went on and played 2 years of community college baseball in the same region and league that I coach in now, in Fergus Falls, and I did fairly well as a shortstop and pitcher there, and just played 2 years, and then I went up to school with a ton of my friends from Fergus and over the years, and we played on the club baseball team at Moorhead, so I did that for 2 years, which was a really fun experience too. I got my 4-year degree in business at Moorhead. So that's it. And then as soon as I was done playing in college, I helped out as an assistant coach with Cody Hughes, who was my head coach in college, which I gained a ton of experience there from, you know, I had been experienced, you know, coaching baseball and teaching it and understanding baseball, but the college aspect being completely different as far as, you know, helping him with recruiting and him giving me a lot of opportunities to do that type of stuff and being kind of one of my main mentors over the years too. So that's kind of what I did. And while I was in college playing in the summers, I came back and coached the Madison VFW team, and I did that for 3 years too, which was responsible for the defense and the offense and the pitchers and the hitters and the infielders and outfielders. When you get to the college level, there's a coach for basically every single one of those positions. So that kind of helped round out my skills and knowledge in tons of different areas. And then after that time, because we would have been up to the COVID shutdown where we didn't have any sports, I started getting into lessons and instruction as a private pitching and hitting instructor and getting into the travel ball organizations and starting to work with Caleb Curry, who is a travel baseball coach for me when I was in high school, who has since become, you know, one of my mentors in coaching as well, too, and a good friend of mine. And I've now been doing that for 5 years and got back into coaching at the college level. And we started a new department, too. Our organization is called Swing Kings, and now we have Swing Kings Pitching, which is a new thing that we've developed. So that's been kind of fun. And on our fall team this year, East Infernals was on the team, so a Madison kid too that I got to coach in the fall on the weekends and some time in the summer too. So that's kind of my background of coaching. I've coached all the way from, you know, Madison Summer Rec, from kindergartners all the way to eighth graders, and now I've coached high school and the collegiate level and all sorts of different areas. So I have kind of a pretty rounded out experience, I would say.
Yeah, and very busy, I should say, since you graduated from Lacapral Valley, doing a lot of different things, and baseball's your love, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And
where'd you get that from, Brandon?
Yeah, if any of you listening don't know, my dad, almost all of you would, but yeah, my dad coached for 30-plus years and played baseball for years and years, and basically my memories growing up were always following my dad around coaching baseball, and not just baseball. I mean, he coached basketball, which I have tons of memories of. He coached football. He even coached wrestling and volleyball, and he's kind of been all over the place, too, so... So it's been kind of in my life and my experience for as long as I can possibly remember. So
that's right. Of course, Brandon's the son of Bart and Julie Hill of Madison, and Bart and I have worked together for many years as well on the radio. And I'm sure since you were in diapers, you were just tagged along down to the ball field every day.
Yeah, my mom claims that my first words were "Go Eagles" because she would take me to the games before I was even born, and that would have been the spring season because I was born in June. So she says that's how I learned to talk.
Okay, Brian, let's back up a little bit back to your high school career. I know. Let's talk about some highlights that you remember, some great memories of your high school career. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, all 4 of my years that I played, we were on really good teams, and I got to play with really good players. So, like I said, right away as a ninth grader getting to play and going all the way through our playoffs undefeated and playing in the state championship and getting to play at Target Field year one was pretty awesome. And still have some of those guys that I play baseball with, and Brandon Bornhorst being our number one pitcher back then is still, you know, the number one pitcher on the baseball team that I play on now. So as much as things have changed, a lot of things have stayed the same too, oddly enough. But
right.
Then from my 10th grade year to my senior year, when we moved over to the Cameron Conference, which was kind of a new experience, we went 29-1 with my group of friends and 2015 graduates and those guys that graduated in 2013 who are good friends and really good teammates and stuff too. So we did a lot of winning, which was absolutely awesome. We won the conference a handful of times too, and fortunate enough to do things like going to play at the Minnesota All-Star Series, which was awesome, and I still have connections from there too, which is a really good honor to have as a baseball player, and I still have my friends from playing that weekend there, and they're all, you know, Division I, Division II baseball players, and I was a community college kid from the middle of nowhere in Minnesota, but that was an awesome experience that I'll always remember too, and all of our times and Legion baseball that we had, and we did a ton of winning there too, so that I always kind of look back on fondly of, you know, if I knew now in baseball what I knew then, what would change? But at the end of the day, how happy I was to have such a good group of friends and teammates and baseball players.
Right.
So,
Brandon, what was that like as a ninth grader to play in a state tournament and then play in a championship game at Target Field? What was that like as a ninth grader walking on Target Field and playing ball?
I think the biggest thing at the time that I thought, and I've never been someone who gets super nervous, I would say, before big baseball games. It just kind of helps me focus a little bit, which everyone's kind of different, but I was always fortunate that I felt like I was going to play the best in the really kind of nerve-wracking situations. But obviously a little bit intimidating once you get you know, your first ground ball or your first at bat of the day, you kind of want to, you know, loosen up and get it out of the way a little bit too. But yeah, it just mostly was that you didn't understand how hard it was to be on a winning team, because from the first time I ever got to start on varsity baseball as a 14-year-old to the end of that first season, basically we never lost any games, and I hit really well and I fielded really well, and I was like, baseball is really easy, and for 4 years I'm going to go to state every year and we're going to win state championships and I'm going to be you know, the best player that anyone's seen in the area. Which at the end of the day, it wasn't the case, because baseball is really difficult, sports are really difficult, being on athletic teams is really difficult too. So like, the lesson that I took away from that over a number of years is, maybe even since then, I've never won as much as I did as a 14-year-old for my first time in varsity baseball. And understanding what the effort it takes, and at the end of the day, you can do everything right and still not get all the results all the time either. So
right, all right. Well, I'm going to just share my moment. Jared Royland's hit in the state baseball tournament, was that against Ely? Who was that against?
That was against Ely. So yeah, we beat them.
Did the guy remind you of that?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So yeah, we won 2-1, and the funny thing about it too, or the memorable moment, is we had our starting lineup, and each guy that we sent up to the plate was a pinch hitter in that last inning, and one got on base as a base runner, and one bunted him over, and Jared hit the game when he hit. So that was such a great example of everyone on the team contributing and being ready to contribute, because those three guys weren't our, you know, all-conference or Division II guys moving on to play college baseball. Those were the guys on the bench waiting for their opportunity to contribute. And they did it, and they were the reason that we won that game. So
with that experience, how do you use that as a coach at the college level now? Do you talk about it every once in a while, or do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I haven't referred to that specifically, but it's definitely something where I kind of have my same value that every single player on the team can find a way to contribute. Some of the players that we have on our team this year, like, for example, our guy that we sent out to run the bases was someone that we picked up at the end of the summer that didn't have a ton of schools hounding after him to play college baseball or anything, but he's really intelligent and he's really fast, and most people would look at him and maybe not give him the opportunity to join a college baseball team because he doesn't do the other things as well, but he's an excellent student, he's really smart, and he runs the bases really well, and he's been contributing in that way too. So whether you're guy number one on the team or your guy number, for us, 26,
wow,
every single guy has a way to kind of contribute to the team, and we've proven that over the first 10 games that we've played too. So I've always kind of held that value for, you know, now it's almost 15 years later. So
let's talk about your college career at Fergus Falls. What do you remember about that? Any memorable moments there?
Yeah, in college you get really tight because you know, you spend basically every waking second with a lot of those guys, because you go to, you're not only going to school and baseball practice with them, and baseball becomes more and more and more hours and not just 2 hours a day and then a couple games during the week, but you live with them too. You have life experience with them. Most of us don't have mom and dad or brothers and sisters to help us with something or be there for us if something's going on. So it becomes, you know, your baseball teammates and your college classmates and stuff too. So it become a lot tighter. And then I got the opportunity to meet all sorts of different people on the baseball field and then coaching afterwards too. And it's funny, if you looked up and down of the baseball roster that we have in Alexandria right now, the 26 guys, how many guys that were either on the team specifically because of this or you know, had a little part in it of the connections that I made while playing baseball and coaching that I've coached and played with. And I have players from my teammates in college who then moved on and they coached the kids that were currently on my team in high school. So then they go, oh, my college teammate has a college baseball team and I know you're looking at it, and they recommend them to come here, and kind of always having those connections. It's kind of amazing how they've stayed over the years, and kind of a good a lesson and example and something my mom has always kind of instilled in me too. It's, you know, at the end of the day, if you leave a, you know, a job or a team or something like that, like if they, you know, still respect you and what you did and you did right by them, like at the end of the day, it's going to come back and be kind of a valuable thing to you too. And that was the great example of it, because if I would have been a bad teammate and a bad, you know, friend to those guys, I wouldn't have a lot of the good baseball players that I have on my baseball team right now 10 years later. So
okay,
pretty happy about that.
All right, let's talk about, now you're the head coach of the Alexandria Tech College Legends baseball team, and how did you get involved? How did you get involved with the Alec College baseball team? You were assistant coach first, right?
Yeah, I was an assistant coach first. I was the pitching coach, and then that strictly came from one of their other assistants knowing me kind of in baseball and through different things and having the need for a pitching coach. The head coach was Jason Fisher, who coached for a number of years at St. Cloud and did really well, was one of the most successful college coaches in the Midwest through the entire time that he was a head coach. And I wouldn't say that he necessarily knew me, but playing in that league and playing against them, and I remember specifically being really successful against his teams too, which was funny, but so having kind of a little bit of a connection there and him reaching out and talking with me and kind of a little bit of an interview process and liking what I was about and bringing me on to an assistant and then doing that for a little while. And he gave me a lot of opportunity to be trusted to run my practice how I wanted with pitchers. If I had recommendations for how things go in the games and getting my input, and that was extremely important for me. So not only to get the experience, but, you know, feeling valued as an assistant in that way, too. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Okay. Talk about your team this year. Where did all the players come from? And you just got back from Florida, right?
Yeah. We opened up our first games of the year, actually, at U.S. Bank Stadium, which was really cool. We went there and we played Dakota County, which is a really good junior college, and they're a division up from us, too, so they can offer scholarships. So they're good just like we are, but they can offer some really high-level players some spots in the team. So we knew that would be a tough challenge, and we went in there our first game of the year in the Viking Stadium and won, and that was a pretty special moment for us. And then obviously being my first year in college baseball, just kind of an opportunity to show what we can do. And we ended up going 1-1 against them to start the year, and then we headed right off to Florida. Where we went 6-2, so our record as it stands right now is 7-3. As far as the guys on our team, most people ask me the same questions when I tell them all about the players we have on our team. But we have two Alexandria kids, we have some Alexandria area kids from Wadena and St. Cloud, and then up to Fargo, and then we have players from Texas, we have players from Florida, we have players from Venezuela, we have players from Puerto Rico, and most times people ask, how in the world do you get guys from Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico, and Venezuela to come play baseball in college in Alexandria? And the main thing is if you put in enough time and make enough connections, you can find players all over the world if they believe in what you have and what you're about as a baseball team. But a lot of that came from, a great example of the head coach that I worked with is Jason Fisher, and all the connections that we've had over the course of the years of, getting a player that grew up in Venezuela playing baseball and moved to the U.S. in Florida to go to high school and try to have an opportunity to go to college and play baseball. And then getting those first guys and giving them a great experience and doing a lot of winning. And now they have their connections that they want to contend our players on or their former teammates on too. So it's kind of cool how all those different people from all over the world end up in the 15,000 people town of Alexandria. But we get players from all over the country and all over the world.
So. Awesome. That's awesome, Brandon. Yeah, so you do the recruiting too?
Yeah, I do all the recruiting essentially. That's one of the most important things to do at the college level. It's definitely the most time-consuming thing too, because what I've learned over the years and through the coaches that I've worked with and coaching myself is in college you can be the worst coach ever in practice and games, but if you have all the best players, you're going to do a lot of winning. And you can be the best coach in practice and games, but if you don't have any good players, it's going to be really, really difficult to win. So all those things are extremely important, but you have to find a way to get the players in the door. And a lot of times that comes from just a lot of time and a lot of effort and being able to have conversations with people and have things to offer them that show them that Alexandria is a place for them to come to. And for me, it was this summer, especially when I took over the head position and all the recruiting was on me. I drove all over the place. I sat in Legion playoff baseball tournaments all day in the heat. I talked to as many people as I could, and I watched as many players as I could, and I had as many phone calls as I could. And I didn't get every single player that I wanted, obviously, but I got a lot of them just because I was willing to work at it and put in all that time. And I think it's something that so far I've been really successful at, and it's something that I know is the strength of me as a college baseball coach. So
good. Who's in your conference, and when do your conference play then? When do you start that?
Yeah, so our conference is essentially made up of the entirety of Minnesota all the way up to, Ely, and which is Vermilion, and Hibbing, and Thief River Falls, and down to Austin and Worthington, and over to Wahpeton in North Dakota, and over to Western Tech, which is in Wisconsin. Our division specifically is us, St. Cloud, Wilmer, Fergus Falls, and Brainerd. So between those teams, we'll play our our 16 games there, and then our playoffs is made up of the entirety of the region based on a seeding process and who wins their division and who qualifies for the tournament at the end of May. And that is in St. Cloud. And typically, our conference season will begin at the beginning of April, and obviously being in Minnesota, that can change at different times too. But that's kind of how the structure of our year goes, as we go play at, you know, either U.S. Bank or we head right off to Florida, and then we come back and play, you know, some games somewhere. Like last year, we were in Iowa, and then this year we're going to Sioux Falls, and hopefully by the end of March, weather cooperates, and we can start playing around here. And then it's conference baseball through April and into May, and playoffs start about mid-May, and hopefully you win your region, and you can go play at the College World Series in New York, and that's the goal for us and me as a coach, and it gets talked about a lot, and that's where we want to be at the end of May and beginning of June. So
okay. All right. Real good. Where do you play your games in Alec? At the stadium downtown?
Yeah, it's downtown. If you're a baseball fan of the area at all, you've probably been to Canute Nelson at one point in time.
Historic.
But it's starting to look a lot different over the years, in a good way. We're finally starting a renovation project for probably the course of 3 years that's been going on for about a year now. So now we play on a turf field, which has been awesome for us. So last year we had chances to go out and practice in February when it was nice and play baseball games, which you can't do in Minnesota without a turf field. And they're redoing the grandstands and the concession stands and the batting cages down the line and the locker rooms and the dugouts. Wow. And all that different stuff too. So
That's a historic stadium, right?
Yeah, it was built around 1960 or so.
Yep. Yeah, when your dad was the Madison VFW coach, we had many summer tournaments there when my kids played anyway. It was a lot of fun to go up there.
Yeah, the Alexandria baseball tournament was almost always, my birthday is June 20th, so it was always fell on my birthday, it seemed like. For the first 8 or 10, I remember my birthday was always in Alexandria and was at the baseball field, which ironically enough is now where I coach. And I always have a good memory, and I've kind of, you know, I've shared this story to our college guys at times too. But I remember specifically on the Madison VFW team playing there, and my dad, he was in the bathroom, and a kid from one of the other teams went up to the stall next to him and was going to the bathroom, and he was talking to his teammate who was the buddy on the team, and they're going, okay, who do we play in the next game? And they said, oh, it looks like Madison. Is that like Madison, Wisconsin? Like, no, it's not very good. Well, our VFW team ended up winning the whole tournament that weekend. So,
yep, I remember that. Awesome. Well, Brandon, hey, thanks for being on the coach's show this morning and catching up with you. And sounds like you're doing what you love to do. And good luck with the Alexandria College Legends baseball team this summer then.
I appreciate it. I have a lot of good help and a lot of mentors and friends over the years that have helped me and helped me get to this spot. And our coaches, which are Brent Pakla and Alex Jenkins and Brock DePute and Kaelin O'Connell and Shane Simon. So those guys are kind of run the show with everything. I just kind of get to make the final decisions. So I'm pretty fortunate to have all those guys and all the connections and everything to help get me to where I am so far. So hopefully at the end of May or June, I can maybe give you another phone call and we're playing at the World Series in New York. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, that's where the World Series is, in New York. All right.
Yep.
All right. That's awesome. All right. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate the time.
You bet. We'll see you, Paul. Thank you.
Yep. Brandon Hill, a Lock Brawl Valley graduate, and we'll take a commercial break. We'll be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Biodiesel is great for the environment, the local economy, and your engine. All biodiesel produced in the U.S. must meet strict ASTM standards, so you can ensure a quality product every time you fill up your vehicle with a biodiesel blend. And each time you do so, you're supporting local farmers, too. This message brought to you by the Lacaparo County Soybean and Corn Growers Association and their checkoffs. When it comes to solid foundations, there's only one name you need to know: Wolfschlager Concrete. Whether it's a new driveway, a sleek patio, or a robust commercial foundation, Wolfschlager Concrete has you covered. With over 20 years of experience and a commitment to quality, our team delivers durable, reliable, and beautifully finished concrete every time. Commercial, agriculture, and residential. They do work in Minnesota and South Dakota. Call Jordan at 320-269-1182 or check out their Facebook page. That's Wolfschlager Concrete.
Well, welcome back to studio here, another edition of the Culture Show, and we'll have some coaches with the preseason next week, possibly softball and track and who knows what. But we try to get something in about their preseason part, introducing their team, and then once their schedule goes, and they got games to talk about. So we'll finish with a couple jokes. First off, you know, people who work in bakeries make good baseball umpires and softball umpires. Yeah, because every morning they say, batter up. And this one I can't take credit for, but I pass it on a lot. Tom Rademacher told me this years and years and years ago, that, you know, the Bible talks about baseball in it. Yep, in the big inning. The big inning. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
We're at 9:55. Great music for Rosen, Ravillo, Odessa, and Corral. This is Q92, KLQP-FM.
There'll be tomorrow night, but wait, what do I see?